Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
No matter what kind of a community you're in, you get to know some of the people, the local proprietors at stores, cafes, things like that. They get quite friendly over the years. Some have basically got their own little quirks and personalities, their own little things that make them unique.
Yeah.
And basically, there's been a story I managed to see the last 24 hours of a man that does exactly that. He ticked all these boxes. Unfortunately, he recently passed away after working at this kebab store in Manly for around 21 years. He goes by the name of Mario Geklik.
Right.
Now, this guy didn't own the store, just worked there, obviously loved working there all the time, but there was something that made him very unique to customers that would come in. Basically, you could say this guy somewhat serenaded the customers of sorts.
Mario Geklik served his kebabs with a song. It was his signature dish. Every shift was with his flute.
He played the flute, and as he played the flute, people started listening.
For 21 years, he delivered his Turkish Shepherd's Melody to thousands. Each day, he travelled from Auburn to Manly Beach to make music.
All right, so imagine you go in there that. And you go, I'll get a kebab and a Turkish delight, and you're like, oh, here's a Turkish delight for you, breaks out the recorder. No, I just want the little,
Imagine the first time you'd walk in, though. Like, this guy, absolute legend, unfortunately passed away, but it seems like he left quite the mark on the local community. But just imagine you're coming in there for the first time. Let's say you're coming back from a night out or whatever, you've had a couple of beers, you walk in there, and all of a sudden some guy starts playing a recorder and starts playing a little flute. You're like, okay, what's happening here? Is it Willy Wonka? Have I just been evicted from the chocolate factory?
Do I have to dance for my kebab? Is this what's required? I'm not sure.
Very unique. Very unique. Yeah. It's good having characters like that, because I would imagine, like as I said, business picked up as soon as he started working there, because people just want to, you know, they just want to see.
They want to get involved.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how many drunk people did get their hands on a kebab and started, like, doing a bit of air recorder on it, like, pretending they were playing as well as they're, like, chowing down on a lamb and chicken kebab.
And in the local community, I think there was actually a guy that worked at Macca's in Bateman's Bay that used to, like, basically sing people through the drive-through as well.
This was a story that
was a couple of years. I'm not sure if he's still working there. Big shout-out to him. If he is still working there, I'd imagine he's moved on to Hollywood and things like that since then. But it's good when you get people like this that just make the workplace a little bit more entertaining for the people that work there.
And the customers
and
as well.
The customers, the point of difference as well. And now I did mention, unfortunately, he did pass away, but it looks like he has been honoured in the best possible way. Take a listen to this.
Mario's legacy won't just be in the hundreds of videos. His famed flute will be immortalised on the place where he brought so much joy. It'll be framed in Mario's corner, along with his photo and a tribute to his famous catch cry.
This was a whole bunch of people that were gathered outside the shop.
Like
just yelling out front of the shop.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So this is great to see. Obviously, you know, they're marking the legacy of him working there 21 years, inspiring a lot of customers as well. And it's not even the first time that I've seen a restaurant or a food place has actually had someone playing the flute or the recorder as well.
Okay.
You know, Mario's probably a lot more popular, I'd have to say, though, than this guy that used to do it.
Do you serve the set menu on a Sunday?
I'll tell ye, but through the medium of dance.
Yeah, he's a bit more popular than that.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.
Some pretty nervous astronomical experts on the weekend. Everyone was worried about this Chinese rocket.
Yeah.
The Chinese government launched it, I think, last week, and it went up. It was supposed to deliver some space parts to the Chinese space station, but unfortunately, the Chinese government lost control on re-entry.
The Chinese Long March 5B rocket booster, 22 tons of space junk in a rapid and random descent to Earth.
Well, it could hit somebody, but that, you know, the odds of that somebody being you is very, very small.
Unless, of course, you're a turtle in the Indian Ocean.
Yeah.
And then you are stuffed. That's where it came down, near the Maldives in the Indian Ocean, hurtling towards Earth at about 30,000 kilometres an hour.
Wow, so obviously not enough AA batteries in the rocket to see it back home. And
they're not sure what went wrong with it, but it was kind of a little bit scary for a little while there because the experts genuinely didn't know where it was going to touch down. Now, granted, the Earth is 70% water, so chances are it's going to splash somewhere. But there was a good chance it could have hit Australia. It could have hit the far south coast. I was talking with my partner going like, what do we do if it's going to hit Bega? And then I was like, I don't know, same thing we do with hail, get the cars under cover. If we can't quick enough, we just throw a doona over the top of the Fiesta and just hope for the best. That's what you do.
Yeah, it's like, what is it? You like, get down low and go, go, go. No, that doesn't help. No. Stop, drop and roll, tuck and roll. No, nothing. Got nothing.
What do? We go into the toilet? That's for a cyclone. You hide in the smallest room in the house. Fortunately, it did splash down in the ocean, didn't cause any loss of human life, as far as we know, yeah, unless it was like wood. A couple of Indian dudes out in their tinny, hopefully not.
Yeah.
So now I'm just waiting for the post to go up on the Maldives notice board saying like, oh, Chinese space junk, does anyone know who owns this, found in the Indian Ocean? The thing is, they've been criticised a lot for their handling of the situation.
Oh, absolutely.
NASA Administrator Bill Nelson says that the Chinese government is failing to meet responsible standards regarding their space debris. They're not picking up after themselves.
First rule.
You know what I mean? The same rules when it comes to walking your dog should apply to space debris. You should have a little baggie that you can pick up debris with.
Little crane,
you know what
I mean?
Don't leave it around for everybody else. He said spacefaring nations must minimize the risks to people and property on Earth from re-entries of space objects. Yeah, that's all well and good, Bill, but you guys don't have a clean record there in the US. I mean, you've got Elon Musk, eccentric billionaire. When he's not punching cones, he's launching stuff into space.
That's right. There was like the car, the sports car.
He put a car into space.
That's right.
Where's that thing?
Yeah.
That's going to come down any day now. You know what I mean? I could be looking up next. That's the last thing I see is a Tesla hurtling towards me at 30,000 kilometers an hour, which would be much higher than its maximum speed.
Yeah.
And really, when it comes to America putting stuff into space, like, you know, you criticize the common sense of the Chinese government. You let this guy build his own space department.
Space Force.
I mean, what were you thinking there? Anyway, it's the first of 11 rockets that's going to be launched by the Chinese government. No. So start building the bomb shelter while you can, I guess is the advice.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.
We've mentioned many times on the show before that the moment you're about to propose to someone, you overthink it that much, it's ridiculous. Like, you try and plan everything, but you can't be in control of every little thing that happens.
No.
You try to be, but it's like so many things outside your control that can happen. But when you do pop the question, you want to make it something that's memorable. And I reckon also...
Or at least something that'll go viral. That seems to be
days. Yeah, that seems to be the whole point
video
of, you
it,
know...
Get it on the internet.
It's like, maybe I'll propose to whoever it is just to further my social media career or something like that these days. But something else you want it to be like... You want them to have no idea what's about to happen. That's when you know you've really done well when it comes to a proposal.
Which is really strange. It's like you're throwing someone a surprise birthday party. Why is there so much focus on the surprise in a proposal? So I really want to catch them off guard so that hopefully they'll just blurt out yes.
Yeah, and that
you know what I mean? To the question, do you want to spend the rest of your life with me? If I can just catch them with their guard down.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what most men are thinking when they go for the surprise proposal.
Maybe. And for one couple in the US, they share a love of KFC. So what better unassuming way than to pop the question to your partner than in a picnic in the park with Kentucky Fried Chicken. You never see that coming because you think surely someone would be like, they'd be better than that, wouldn't you?
You might have some like chicken popcorn, but you don't imagine someone's popping the question with the popcorn.
Exactly right. You want to be careful when you do this sort of thing though as well, because I don't know about you, but when I get KFC or fast food, it's called fast food and I tend to eat it very fast.
Mm.
I don't know what it is, but there's just something about me that I have to absolutely smash it down. But for this man and his partner, obviously she was totally unaware he was about to propose, but he proposed to her by putting the ring inside a KFC biscuit. So it's American. A biscuit is like...
It's the roll.
It's a roll, basically. Yeah. A roll sort of
thing. What we have, but...
Just a weird name.
This is a little thicker.
Yeah.
It's more like
but this
scone.
Is what it sounded like the moment that caught her off guard.
Are you marrying me?
Are you kidding?
Yeah, so we can guarantee that was actually a ring in there. It wasn't salmonella or a worm or something she found in her food and decided to go crazy.
I was going
to
say, maybe he got a Diet Pepsi instead of regular Pepsi. She's like, what is this?
I've heard that reaction
before.
What
is this?
The best thing is when someone goes through the drive-thru of wherever it is and gets like the fattiest man's like, I'll have a diet drink just in case. But
I'm assuming she loves KFC.
She loves KFC.
Because otherwise, wouldn't you propose with something else that's more suited towards a proposal?
Like
maybe, you know, go to Macca's and get some onion rings and you can just put one on her finger or something like that?
Maybe. You know? It'd be too dangerous if you put put like the ring around a bit of popcorn chicken. Because like I said, I don't know about you, I just smash the popcorn chicken. Yeah. I wouldn't sit there and study every bit of popcorn chicken.
You can propose to her when the ring pops up on the x-ray at the in the emergency department. Will you marry me? There it is in your lower colon. Will you be mine?
Yeah. Luckily, obviously, she said yes. A lot of people have viewed this thing online and everything else. But what a very special moment, you know, basically to have this moment to go viral. KFC, yeah. A meal they both love. She says yes. But I reckon this guy had something backed up, though, if it possibly went wrong. Because if she possibly said no when it came to popping the question, I reckon this would have been his response. I don't care. I love
it. Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.